Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
Coming up on NBA Today, with another loss, the Lakers are officially in danger of falling out of the play-in. Also, we have the latest on LeBron's foot injury and Kyrie Irving's home debut was last night. Our panel on how having him back full-time may not be the only thing the Nets need. Plus, Woj with a big injury update to one of their key big men. Can the Celtics stay atop the East without Robert Williams? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. I'm Malika Andrews. So we launched this show on October 18th, and in that show, we put up the odds to win the NBA championship. And at the top of the list were the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers. So a star-studded finals matchup featuring LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook versus Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and at the time, remember, James Harden. Yeesh. So it's now March 28th, and both teams are fighting for their play-in. That's right, play-in, not playoff. Live. So this is the time of year when usually things get clearer for both teams, right? But with these teams, all that remains are questions like, will a full-time Kyrie make Brooklyn the force they were supposed to be? And can LeBron will this Lakers team to a play-in tournament? And if he does, will it be on the foot that he sprained last night?
From the time that I turned my ankle, I felt a sharp pain run on my leg. It started getting hot, and I've been there before with ankle sprains before. So, but I didn't want to come out of the game because I understood it. I mean, I just wanted to win the game. I understood how big of a game it was for us. I have no idea how I finished the game. To be honest, after watching that replay, it's pretty nasty.
How's it feeling right now? It looked like pretty sore as you're walking in here and
hot. Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible right now. And unfortunately, we're about to hop on a flight too. So, you know, just got to get treatment around the clock, see what happens day to day, but it's pretty sore right now.
We're now joined by analyst Matt Barnes and senior writer Ramona Shelburne. So, Ramona, I just want to start with you here. What's the latest on LeBron's injury?
Well, you know, they're still waiting to figure out how bad this is going to be. But I think the assumption around people I've spoken with the team is, you know, you have to be prepared to be without him for a little time here. But let's see. He's got an incredible healing powers. I mean, I've seen him get hurt and then just pop back up. The fact that he played the rest of this game on that foot is pretty incredible considering how bad it was after the game. You should keep this in mind, though. He's played 55 games, Malika. He's leading the NBA in scoring. Mm. He needs to play 58 to qualify for the scoring championship.
Mm. So, you know, knowing LeBron, that's probably somewhere in the back of his mind. But for the Lakers' sake, right, hopefully this injury doesn't keep him out for too long because LA is 6-13 without him, and that's this season. So let's take a look at how it happened in the game last night. So they played against the New Orleans Pelicans. Lakers taking them on. There's LeBron James. The Lakers led by as many as 23 points in the second quarter. But take a look at this. The Pelicans down 14. Off of the miss, there comes Trey Murphy. Oh. Matt Barnes. He elevates over Wenyen Gabriel. And look at this. Even his face can't believe it. He was called for a tech for that little stare down that he got there. But Brandon Ingram doesn't care. All right, let's go ahead. End of the third. Pelicans down just 5 now. Not anymore. Murphy again lays it in, draws the foul, 21 points off the bench. The Pelicans down 4 after 3 quarters. 5 minutes to play here in the fourth. Pelicans down 1.
Yeah.
Not if Brandon Ingram has anything to say about it. Hits a little mid-range. Check this out. Turns the Lakers over. Gets out in transition. Nifty high off the glass. Brandon Ingram, you can see him there. CJ McCollum.
Here comes CJ. Oh.
Oh, no, no. LeBron says no way, but that was called for goaltending. Oh. So take another look. Even LeBron can't believe it. The Pelicans win 116-108. Here's LeBron after the game.
It feels like I mean, excuse my language, but that's what it feels like. You know, I came in with the mindset, understanding it was a playoff type, it was going to be playoff type atmosphere, playoff implications and things of that nature. So, you know, it feels like a wasted opportunity, obviously, for myself and for our team, and we weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It hurts. This game hurts. I mean, this is a big game, but You know, we have to get, we have to regroup and find a way to beat Dallas and get some wins down the stretch here. You know, time's running out on us. And, you know, we came out with the proper urgency for this game, but weren't able to close it.
All right, so let's take a deeper look at how exactly the Lakers collapsed in the second half. They scored just 39 points after the break and shot under 40% from the field and 19% from three after shooting nearly 70% in the first half. So let's bring in Kendrick Perkins now. And Perk, both you and Matt, you too, you've been a part of teams that have made big comebacks and then also teams that have given up big leads. So Matt, I want to start with you here. Was last night more about the Pelicans coming back, or was it about the Lakers just blowing it?
I think this is just about the Lakers being the Lakers. I think they were obviously championship odds-on favorite at the beginning of the season because we wanted to believe that they have two of the top five best players in the league, and we thought that that would be able to carry them through the season. Obviously, LeBron's missed time. AD's missed a long stretch. Unfortunately, LeBron has a foot tweak now. So at the end of the day, this is not a very good roster, and I think we all know that. So at the end of the day, to me, this is just more about the Lakers being the Lakers and not being fully healthy than it is about the Pelicans to me.
Big Perk?
Well, you know what? I'm going to get the Pelicans fan base off my back a little bit, and I'm going to show them some love, right? Because they've been in my comments. I had to go on Twitter Space and defend myself when I said about them selling the franchise. So, I'm going to show them some love right now, right? They have been playing inspiring, winning basketball, okay? And I know they're not a top five seed, but the way that they've been playing those young guys, you look at the undrafted guy out of Georgia Tech, Alvarado, I think that's his name is, and when you look at how they're playing, they're on a mission. Yeah, CJ McCollum has embraced it. He has become a true leader. Brandon Ingram is playing exceptionally well. So I'm tired of talking about the Lakers like they are who they are at this point. They showed us that time and time again. I'm going to give some love to them people down there in New Orleans, baby. I'm going to go to the Pelicans.
Good for you, Park.
Well, and they're kind of intrinsically linked, right? Because now the Pelicans, as we're going to talk about a little bit more, where this leaves us, right? New Orleans, they moved up to the 9 seed, followed by the Lakers and then the Suns. So take a look at the schedules remaining for the teams battling for the two play-in spots. The Lakers have the toughest remaining schedule. Let me say that again. They have the toughest remaining schedule in the league and will face the Pelicans again on Friday. But remember when I said they're linked? The Pelicans, they already own the series, right? Because they own the series tiebreaker. They beat the Lakers twice. So with all of that as the backdrop, let's just simplify this just a little bit. Will the Lakers make or miss the play-in tournament, Matt? Yes or no?
Oh, you got to make me go first?
This is yes or no, baby.
Man, 7 out of their last 8 are against playoff teams if you count the Pelicans. I'm going to take a wild guess and say they're not going to make it this year.
Okay, Big Perk, what are we thinking? What are we thinking? Yes or no, Lakers?
They're going to miss it. They're going to miss it. Look. The Spurs have an easy schedule. They play Portland twice. I'm betting my money on Greg Popovich and Murray right now. I don't have zero faith in the Los Angeles Lakers. Look, they were up almost 23 points last night. So I'm gonna go with the Spurs, and I think it's wise because LeBron is not fully healthy. We don't know how long he's gonna be out. I think they need to sit him down and just let the others rock out so they can see which guys they want to bring back next season.
Ramona?
I think they're gonna miss it too. If you would ask me this a week ago, I would have said, no, they'll get in somehow.
Right.
But San Antonio's played really well this last week. They've closed the gap on them. And that strength of schedule is something. Because, look, that was a must-win game last night.
Right.
And they lost.
Right.
They were up by 23, and they lost.
And they're playing inspired basketball in the first half.
The game plan, the Lakers' game plan the last 5-6 games, they've been pretty good. They just can't sustain that for 48 minutes. And some of that is lack of focus. Some of that is just personnel. But if you have a game on the road against New Orleans and you have to win and you can't, what does that tell you about the rest of the season?
It tells you Trey Murphy III was El Fuego.
And if you look at Vogel in the press conference, he just looks emotionally, physically just beat this season. I mean, he's taken a lot of the brunt of the success of this team. Hasn't had some on him, some on management, some on the players. But he just looks defeated already. So, unfortunately, again, with LeBron tweaking his foot yesterday, the uncertainty of AD, and even if AD comes back, those kind of ankle injuries take a minute to get back in rhythm. Unfortunately, I think it's time to throw that white flag up. I know LeBron probably wants to win the scoring title, so if there's a way to make that happen, great. But if not, that's it, Laker fans. We're sorry.
What do you think, Big Perk?
You know, You know who else looked defeated? Matt, because I know I'm defeated.
Oh,
because we spent 24 of our hours. We spent 24 of our hours in the gym in Dallas coaching AAU basketball.
Yeah.
Hey, we won those championships.
Yeah, we both held it down, man. G1 and Perk's team, man. We held it down out there.
So maybe the Lakers can learn a little something from the two of you.
We might need to go coach them. Let's go coach them next year, bro.
All right, still to come on NBA Today, an injury update on the Celtics big man Robert Williams. So Woj, he's going to join us with the latest. And we're going to stick in the East because Kyrie Irving is back in Brooklyn. So we will unpack his homecoming, plus the struggling Warriors. They visit the jawless Grizzlies tonight. So why the Dubs need this dub tonight. Stay tuned. NBA Today rolls on after this.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. Don't look now, but the Celtics, they are number one in the East. And last night, Jason Tatum poured in 34 points, while Jaylen Brown scored 31 as the Celtics beat the Timberwolves 134-112 in Boston. Now, the Celtics, they've won six straight and are 13-2 since the All-Star break, but they suffered a setback when Robert Williams left the game in the third quarter with an injury. So we're now joined by our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, what more can you tell us about Robert Williams' injury and how long he may be out here?
Yeah, Malika, it is a left knee meniscus tear for Robert Williams. And now what the Celtics and Robert Williams, his agent Kevin Bradbury, are discussing with doctors is what kind of a procedure he's going to have for that meniscus. You know, there's essentially two options here. One is more of a 4 to 6 week procedure that he could potentially be back maybe after the first round of the playoffs or a little bit later. And there's another longer term procedure that would likely keep him out the rest of the season. This is really a devastating blow for a Boston team that's not only been the best in the league over the last couple months, but the best defensive team by far. And Robert Williams, you know, literally at the center of that. This is a player who, you know, very well could have been on the all defensive team this season, first team. And, you know, you've seen the impact he's had with this group. And so for Boston now, they'll continue to discuss these surgical options for Robert Williams. He will have a procedure, I'm told. The question will be, is it one that would allow him to return at some point in the playoffs if Boston advances?
Absolutely. So right now, decisions need to be made by Robert Williams, by Kevin Bradbury and the Celtics. We know that you'll be all over that when those decisions are made. Woj, thank you so much. All right. I do want to bring in someone is all Celtics all the time, because as Woj just detailed, there's a decision to be made here. Will it be 4 to 6 weeks? Will it be a little bit longer? We welcome back in Kendrick Perkins. Nobody big perk knows the Celtics like you do. So just how big of a loss is this for the Celtics?
It's bigger than me, Malika. That's how big it is, and that's pretty damn big, okay? Let me tell you why, okay? With Rob Williams, go ahead and get your laughs out.
Good.
I know you over there gigging.
Listen,
with Rob Williams, the Celtics are a legit title contender. Without him, they're second-round exit. And let me tell you why. He's the top 10 center in the league. We're talking about a guy that's up for the Defensive Player of the Year award. What he brings on the defensive end, far as his rim protection, far as his versatility of switching 1 through 5, and he allows those guards to be aggressive because of his ability to block shots. And then you take it to the other end offensively, him being a dynamic roller and an athletic big, opens up so much for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to go to work because they have to honor him. So with them, with the Celtics losing him at this point,
yeah,
I think they're a second round exit. If they get him back and he's able to play and he's healthy, they could possibly be a contender again, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Williams, when I was in Boston, yeah, on the defensive end, it was clear his talent. But what impressed me most is his sprinting back down the floor, right, and then making an offensive play. So let's take a look at the top four in the East. The Celtics and the Heat, they have the same record, right? But Boston holds the tiebreaker after beating Miami twice this season. And Boston moved into first place for the first time in their 75th game. And get this, Big Perk, according to Elias Sports Bureau, this is the latest into a season a team has moved into first place for the first time in its conference in NBA history. So, Perk, considering what you mentioned, the key to the Celtics turnaround has been their number one ranked defense, and that's been anchored by Williams. How do you see the East shaking out now that he's sidelined?
Well, it's wide open, but to be honest, the way that James Harden has been playing of late, I think you got to put the favorites as the Milwaukee Bucks. The Miami Heat has been struggling. I want to ride with the Boston Celtics, but I can't ride with them without Robert Williams. I have to give it to the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they're the favorite to win it all. They're laying in the cuts but steadily winning games. You look at what they're doing right now. Giannis is unstoppable. Jrue Holiday is actually having the best offensive season since he joined the Milwaukee Bucks. Money-making Middleton is getting into his bag. And then now you get back Brook Lopez. I got to give it to the Bucks. I would have said the Celtics, but after today's news, I got to go with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Not to mention Bobby Portis has really bought into his role coming off of the bench after starting for most of the year in the absence of Brook Lopez. But speaking of those top of the East teams, here's our NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. The Celtics in Toronto tonight before a huge clash Wednesday night in Boston on ESPN versus the Heat at 7:30 Eastern in the first game of our doubleheader. And then Golden State hosts Phoenix in the nightcap. All right, let's go coast to coast, starting in Phoenix, where I just mentioned, where the Suns hosted the 76ers. So Devin Booker scored 35 points, and Phoenix won its eighth straight game. The Suns, they now have 61 wins this season. That's tied for their third most in a season in franchise history. Ramona, I want to talk Philly, though. What's up with James Harden?
Well, he's still not at top speed, and that's because of all the hamstring injuries that he's had. The Sixers have him on a different kind of rehab schedule where they want to get him playing and practicing at top speed because the top speed is where he hurts that hamstring, and so they got to get him to that place where he can sustain it. Their target is to get him ready for the playoffs where he can be playing top speed and not re-injure the hamstring.
Ramona, this sounds familiar from when I was in Brooklyn last season. And before Phoenix Suns fans say, what about us? Y'all are rolling. We're going to get to you. Don't even worry about it. All right, let's go to Dallas, where Luka went for 32-10 in a win over Utah. Dallas moved a game ahead of the Jazz in the battle for the fourth seed in the West and then earned a split of the season series. So, Matt, what's the ceiling for this Mavs team here?
I love what Jason Kidd has been able to do with this team, put a defensive mindset together, challenge Luka to be the best player he can possibly be. I still feel this team needs that second consistent star. We don't know if that's going to be Jalen Brunson. That's why they thought Porzingis was going to be. So I think a second round exit is the ceiling for this team this season.
Interesting. All right, let's go to New Orleans, but unfortunately not for beignets. But for a Zion update, Ramona, what do you got?
Look at that dunk. Look, Zion posted that. He was having a good day and he was feeling himself. But my understanding is that's not necessarily him putting pressure on the organization. Like, hey, I wouldn't need to play. He's going to, the hope is he can be clear to go 2-on-2 later this week. But right now he's doing these kind of dunks and apparently dominating Corey Brewer in 1-on-1s.
Okay, 2-on-2.
Sorry, Corey.
Potentially later this week. And let's go right back here to Los Angeles because Paul George went through 5-on-5 practice yesterday.
Oh.
And Ty Lue said that George will practice again today. So, Matt, how dangerous can the Clippers be if Paul George returns this season?
Well, just really, again, hats off to T. Lue for what he's been able to do to keep this team together with their two stars missing. Reggie Jackson's had a huge year this season. Obviously, Paul George coming back has helped. Does it make them a favorite title contender? Ooh. I don't think so, but I think they're going to be a fun team.
They need some offense, though. I saw Paul before the game the other night, and he looked really good in that. He's ahead of Norm Powell.
In a workout
on the court. He's working out. And they need some offense because, like, Reggie's been keeping them going, but they need some reinforcements.
But as long as that doesn't if there's no potential for Paul to hurt himself any further with the injury, because right. to me, they're not obviously fighting for a championship this year, but next year they very well can be with the team. The way this team played without their stars, you plug in two superstars in this yeah. league, to me, they're a title contender next year.
Well, it's about finding a groove and finding that trust that your superstars aren't yeah. just sitting there going like this and saying, right. okay, well, we want to be in the trenches with you. And Paul George, I mean, he's been working so hard to not yeah. have to have surgery right. to be able to even have the opportunity yeah. to come back. So this is some exciting news for the Clippers. All right. Still ahead on NBA Today. Speaking of being back, full-time Kyrie is back, but his homecoming was spoiled by Charlotte. So
and
can
LaMelo.
The Nets and LaMelo. So can the Nets figure it out before the end of the regular season? Plus, Mike Schmitz joins us from Australia to talk about the most exciting international prospects. And Draymond Green's comments on the Warriors' struggles ahead of their game against the Grizzlies tonight. Keep it locked on NBA Today.
Mike Schmitz has the best travel.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So Steve Nash told me recently that he's not going to let himself get excited until the ball tips and Kyrie Irving is on the floor. Well, get excited.
Official.
Let's go to Barclays Official. Center because Kyrie Irving had his homecoming last night. And you can take a look. You can see him. He's going to come walking into Barclays Center, getting ready.
Big day.
And then just before the game, Kyrie took to the court to a standing ovation in Barclays Center. You can see fans, well, those are sitting, but they're excited to see him play. So under 5 minutes to go, the Nets down four. Kyrie showing off his handles, drives, wills it high off the glass.
Tough left hand, one of the best finishers in the game, both hands.
Well, what do you think of this finish? Look at these handles first, working LaMelo.
I'm here, LaMelo. Come
and
here, LaMelo.
And then he gets a nice friendly roll there. It almost looked like Fender got a hand on it. Oh, man, but cold-blooded Cody Martin.
Tough shot.
So Hornets up four. Now they're up by two. Bridges can't quite get it to go. But who finds the ball again? But Martin recovers for three. Hornets go on to win 119-110. Kyrie had 16 points, 11 assists in this game. All right, so Kyrie back in Barclays, not his best scoring game. As I mentioned, 16 points on 6 of 22 shooting. So, Perk, I want to start with you here. What grade would you give Kyrie's home debut?
Well, I told you I was never saying nothing negative about Kyrie again, and I meant that. I'm giving him an A just
okay.
for the simple fact that he could play home games. Look, I'm not worried about that he shot poorly.
Doesn't that mean give the mayor an A, not Kyrie an A?
Hey, Perk, I would have went. Perk, I want to go to your school. If you're giving out A's like that, I would have been on the honor roll, boy. Let me tell you.
but Matt, just the fact that he could be available for home games again, because it's important for the Nets. Like, Kyrie didn't already bless us with a 50, a 60, a 43. He had an off night, so what?
Yep.
But he's going to bounce back. But for the Nets to have him, because we all know KD needs him more than anything, especially in these home games. So I'm gonna give him an A.
Yeah, I'm
just because he's home.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a C. And again, it's just an off night.
Ooh.
He still had a double-double, 16 and he said, 16 and 11. And as Perk stated, the most important thing is he is a full-time player now. And they know moving forward that they're going to have them. They're not going to have to mess with their lineup. But also, it's very important to have Kyrie back. It was an off night. Don't count on that, whoever the rest of the opponents are the rest of the season, because Kyrie is Kyrie.
That's right. But Sarah Kustok made a really interesting point on the Nets broadcast last night, and it was this. When you're talking about the play-in tournament, you're talking about one game. And any given player can have an off night in one game. And so that's why it makes it even more important that a team like the Brooklyn Nets, where Kyrie maybe, you know, a little bit of jitters coming out in his first game or going up to Toronto, but wherever they shake out, anyone can have an off night for one game. And so avoiding the play-in tournament is obviously what they are going to be going for. Here's the race for the play-in tournament out east. The Raptors, they hold a one-game lead over the Cavs for the sixth spot. And then the Nets, however, they would be facing two single elimination games just to get into the playoffs. So what did we say about anyone can have an off night, Matt?
Yeah, if I'm a bet my money on those two single games that they have to win, I'm a bet on them. Obviously, I mean, even if Kyrie has an off night.
You don't bet against Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, the one person who doesn't really have off nights is Kevin Durant. So I don't look at Kyrie as, like I said, he's just coming back off dropping 50 balls left and right. So it was an off night, just like he had some on nights, but he has more on nights than off nights.
Absolutely, Perk.
No, I'm with you. And look, here's the thing, right? When you look at those other teams, you have Trae Young who could hurt you. You have the Hornets. But again, we're talking about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world. Let's be clear about that, okay? When he steps onto the floor and now he's playing that point forward position that I love so much. But I'm going to tell you this. The X factor got to be Andre Drummond.
Yes.
Andre Drummond got to give something to them. He got to anchor that defense going forward. I think he's going to be huge. He's going to be vital as far as how he's able to guard the pick and roll, how he's able to protect the basket, spin at the floor, dive to the basket so they can have the spacing. Basically, try to mimic everything I was saying about Robert Williams. That's what they need Andre Drummond to do.
I agree. I think they need to be Andre Drummond to be a 15-15 guy in the playoffs and protect that paint. Get Seth Curry rolling and James Johnson, the rest of these guys going. But, again, in a single elimination situation, it's hard to bet against Kevin Durant. And then in beating a team four times, it's hard to bet against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So we'll have to see.
Well, when you're looking at, okay, whether it's a single game elimination or whether it's a series, we've established Kevin Durant may be the best basketball player playing right now. Kyrie Irving is formidable and will go down as having one of the best handles in NBA history. But to you, Matt, what Perk just said is for him, Andre Drummond is the single most important player outside of those two for this roster. Who is that to you?
I'm going to go outside of the players, and I'm going to say it's going to be Steve Nash.
Ooh.
We're really going to have to see what Steve Nash is made of as a head coach. You know, he's going to have to work these rotations.
Thank you.
The minutes, the in-game adjustments. All this stuff was kind of thrown away when you think, okay, we got KD, Harden, and Kyrie now. Now all you have is Kyrie and KD. Who knows if Ben Simmons comes back, but we're really going to see how good of a coach Steve Nash is, because it's going to take a lot of strategy for this team to continue to move on through the Eastern Conference playoffs situation.
Well, Perk thinks you are speaking the gospel right now. Andre Drummond, though, I will say, just watching him play in person against Memphis, it was so interesting to see what he's able to do and what he unlocks for this team, because he seemed to feel that every offensive board, it is his mission to go and get. And if he can be playing at that level, that will sure help in whatever formula you're saying that Steve Nash needs to draw up. All right, when NBA Today comes back, we head down under. We established my Australian accent is just awful. Well, we're going to check in with our Mike Schmitz, don't go anywhere. Is yours good?
No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. So new mock draft is out, and Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga would be the first pick, followed by Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith. Okay, so I don't want to scare anyone, but we're 87 days from the NBA draft, and some may say that that's too early to talk to Mike Schmitz, but I am not one of those people. So let's bring him in live from Melbourne, Australia. Is that right, Mike? Are you in Australia? And if so, why isn't NBA Today with you?
Well, that's a question for the higher-ups. I would love to have you guys out here, get down under, eat some kangaroo with me. It's not as good as I expected, but it's been a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, I'm still processing eating kangaroo. All right, before we dive into the nitty gritty here, tell us about your travels, maybe save for the kangaroo meat.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. But yeah, I traveled all the way out from LA to Melbourne. I went from Melbourne to Cairns, which is where the Great Barrier Reef is located. I didn't make it out there to the Great Barrier Reef. Went from Cairns then all the way to Western Australia to Perth to see a prospect out there. Then I took the nice, lovely red eye back to Melbourne with a stop in Brisbane at around 5 a.m. and got in and watched another prospect out here in Melbourne. And then I'm finally headed home today. So I've been gallivanting this beautiful country with tremendous people to see some pretty interesting NBA prospects.
Well, and you said it, Australia has produced numerous NBA stars, Andrew Bogut, Patty Mills, and then most recently Josh Giddey. So who's next?
Dyson Daniels. Remember the name Dyson Daniels. He's going to be a top 10 pick in this upcoming draft. I actually just broke down film with him yesterday at this hotel out in Melbourne. He's training here after spending the last season with the G League Ignite. But let's break down his game because he is incredibly impressive on both ends of the floor. I think he's one of the most complete prospects. So it starts defensively. Give me that at the rim, okay? He's 6'8 in shoes with a 6'11 wingspan, defends multiple positions, can play really 1 through 4. And then the IQ, the vision, these quick hit-aheads. He plays that unselfish style and then can really see over the top in the half court offensively. He is a big guard, okay? Here you can see the vision, the accuracy, the touch. He actually played Aussie rules football for 6 years. So he's got these kind of funky instincts like we've seen from Josh Giddey. He developed at the NBA Academy out here before going to the G League Ignite. And I'm just really impressed with his versatility and ability to impact the game on both ends of the floor.
Well, we know, Mike, that today's NBA is dominated by international stars, right? Giannis, Luka, Jokic, just to name a few. So who is this year's top international prospect?
I think Usman Jang, the Frenchman playing with the New Zealand Breakers, is a sleeper in this draft. I think he could potentially go as high as the late lottery. And then his teammate, Hugo Besson. Remember that name as well. He is a 6'5 sniper. Now, with Jang, tremendous size, can handle the ball, can facilitate and pick and roll. And then Besson really shoots the lights out, has that Tyler Hero type of mentality. You can run him off the screens. He has a short memory, okay? He's going to miss 1, 2, 3, 4, but he will keep letting it fly. I think he can play on the ball as well. And then with Jang, think about kind of a Nick Batum type of player, 6'10, can really pass, made a bunch of step back threes the game I was at. So he's a kind of a long-term prospect, but really, really intriguing and the best prospect I've seen out here so far.
Wow. All right. Well, Mike, we can't have you on and not talk about the NCAA tournament. So while you were out gallivanting the globe, the Final Four has been sorted out. So which top prospect has made the most of the tournament in your eyes?
It's Duke's Paolo Banchero. He actually jumped back up to number 2 on our mock draft, ESPN's Jonathan Givony's mock draft that was released today. And it's really because he simplified his game, okay? So while Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith are at home, he's really bought into playing a role at Duke. There you can see the balance, the catch and shoot three, the rhythm. He's not playing as much catch and hold basketball. Over his last 5 games, he's shooting 50% from three. He had a big time game against Texas Tech, the number 1 defense in the entire country. So you see the catch and shoot three. Now they're running him off the line, and now he can use his handle, his IQ, his vision. They're dropping it off to Mark Williams, who's also been one of the biggest winners. So Banchero entered this tournament with some question marks. Teams were wondering, you know, is Jaden Ivey a better prospect? Is Keegan Murray a better prospect? Paolo Banchero has reminded us why he's very much in the conversation for the number 1 pick, and that's going to continue to rise if he leads Duke to a national championship.
Not to mention his size, Mike, is formidable. Okay, travel safely. We'll see you back in LA. Some key dates for the NBA draft, though. The lottery is May 17th on ESPN, and then the draft itself is June 23rd on ABC and ESPN, and Mike Schmitz will be all over all of that. Thank you so much. Coming up on NBA Today, we go for a walk in Memphis, where the 2 seed in the West is on the line tonight. So whose impact is felt more, Ja Morant or Steph Curry? Keep it locked on NBA Today. Fun seems to kind of be your game. Do you take pride in that?
Memphis, you know, I feel like that's, you know, our identity.
They don't give a damn. They don't care who is in front of them. They're going at you.
Bane catches, fires, 3-pointer. no Ja Morant tonight. No problem once again for the Grizzlies. There's the record. Most triples in any quarter. 10.
A good night for the whole team.
Step back, melted. Do it again! Light up the night, D-Melt!
Hey. No interviews.
Get it? Hey, I'm in management.
Interview, man.
In order to do an interview, you gotta ask me first.
Man, what a week it was for the Grizzlies, huh? The breakout team of the NBA season is 17-2 without their lone all-star Ja Morant. And I have to tell you that the vibe in Memphis around this team, it's unlike any team that I've covered except for maybe the Phoenix Suns with their dancing. And the mix of fun and in-your-face toughness, and it's all showing on the court. And at the start of last week, the Grizzlies, they were just 1.5 games ahead of the Warriors for the second seed in the West. Well, Memphis went 3-0 without Ja Morant, while the Warriors, they struggled to a 1-3 week, and now there's a 4-game gap between them. All right, now we welcome in senior writer for Anscape, Mark Spears. Mark, both the Grizzlies and the Warriors right now, they're playing without their stars, but why have the Grizzlies found so much success while the Warriors have floundered a bit here?
Well, I talked to Brandon Clark, the forward for the Grizzlies, and he told me, he said, it all comes down to having great chemistry and a deep roster. He also said, when we play without Ja, we know that we all have to bring our games to a different level in order to still win. So then I asked him, I was like, hey, who's the leader when Ja's not playing? He's like, well, without Ja, we do things by committee. And the coaching staff has also done an exceptional job of keeping them locked in. It's a true team effort. And that's why you see that 17-2 record, the outscoring of opponents by 351 points without Ja. Mm. And this is the highest point per differential this season when the All-Star is not playing. So it's amazing what these young fellas, aren't all-stars are able to do as a team. Their chemistry is outstanding.
And I mentioned this on the show last week, Mark, but it seems like Taylor Jenkins said, you know, we have such a plug-and-play system where our backups, they know what their role is. This is a system that everyone can just get in and go. Mark Spears, thank you so much. All right, from one Bay Area friend to Bay Area family, let's go to Memphis now and bring in our Warriors reporter, Kendra Andrews, who appears to be standing with your feet 10 feet off of Beale Street. Kendra, on this show, we often talk about Draymond as the Warriors' heart, right? And sometimes that means calling out his teammates. But how is he evaluating his own play right now?
Well, Malika, in the 7 games the Warriors have played since Draymond Green came back from that lower back injury, they've lost 6 of them. The one game that they won, he didn't even play in. Now, we all know that Draymond Green is a competitor and is extremely critical. And last night after their loss to the Washington Wizards, he went at it again. This time, he went in on himself.
I've never really been on a team that gets worse when I'm on the floor, and that's kind of where we are right now. I feel terrible. I feel healthy. I feel terrible. I am aware that I came off a very serious injury and was out 11 weeks, and for 7 or 8 of those 11 weeks, I couldn't even touch the basketball court. Being critical of myself, I understand and am aware of that, but I don't give a like I'm a competitor. You put in the work to be great, and so regardless of what the circumstances are, I still think and know that I can produce great performances, and I haven't done that. So that's the expectations of myself, for myself. It's not an on or off thing for me. It's just circumstances are what they are. Now I got to figure it out.
Now, the Warriors are taking the same outlook on Draymond as they are the entire team. Get it right by the time the playoffs start.
Right.
But with them still waiting to get Stephen Curry back, time is running out. And Draymond said, look, every time I step on the court, I have to be shaking rust off, get my game back up to speed. But Malika, he's going to have to wait a couple more days to do that because he is not playing here tonight in Memphis. Instead, he's resting on the second night of a back-to-back.
Well, he's resting, and I'm reading your tweet here. Klay Thompson out, Otto Porter Jr. out, Andre Iguodala is available, but now Gary Payton II has also been added to the injury report. He's questionable with right knee soreness. Kendra Andrews, thank you so much. I do want to bring Matt and Big Perk back into the conversation here. So, Perk, I want to start with you. Is Draymond right?
He is right. He is right. And that's the thing you got to love and respect about Draymond is that he keeps it 100, whether you like it or not. Here's the thing about Draymond. Like, coming off an injury, And I feel like right now Draymond has so much going on in the outside world. And now it's time for him to lock back in on what got those opportunities on the outside world. And that's the game of basketball. It's coming down to clutch time, the clutch moment, the last part of the season, going into the postseason. I believe it's time for him to lock in on that part, along with getting his conditioning, along with trying to be as healthy as possible, along with getting his game back to where it was before he went out. But I love Draymond's accountability. You don't see a lot of guys have that type of accountability, and that's the type of leader that you want.
No, I completely agree. I mean, he's taken on a leadership role, and it starts at the top with him, and he understands that he's been less than overwhelming since he's been back, averaging 4, 5, and 6. And I just think that it's just going to take some time. He's 32 years old, so these injuries, you can't bounce right back. Obviously, he's one of the best defensive players we've seen in the last 20 years, and this is stuff that's normal to him. But the fact that he's a step slow mentally and physically right now, it just shows he still needs to shake more rust off, as he says. But I have no doubt that he has another 2 weeks to get his mind and body back in the right state of mind, and he'll be all right once the playoffs come around.
Well, and you can take a look there, you know, bad closeouts. Yep. Leaves his man, able to drive.
Some of that is body, but some of that is mind as well. You know, some of that is mind as well. So it's just like he has to completely lock back in, like Perk said, on the mental and the physical aspect of this game.
Well, and if you lock in on that, then maybe some of those careless mistakes like you're seeing there where he loses the ball, his eyes to the basket when the ball was out in the corner there,
shooter,
gives up the three. Even if you think Mo Bamba maybe can't make it, you have to guard him like he can. All right, quick hypothetical here. Grizz Warriors, best of 7 series. Everyone is healthy. Again, everyone is healthy. Real quick, big Perk, dark side president, who you got?
You know I'm standing on the dark side.
I know you are.
I got on the black T-shirt. I came on here. I'm standing on. Look, the fact, and let me tell you why. The fact that the Memphis Grizzlies are this good, they have a great record, their offensive numbers are great, defensive numbers are great, without Ja Morant, if we were here talking about this Memphis Grizzlies team, we would be saying, man, they one superstar away from really being a title contender. They actually had a superstar. This team, who we've been seeing without their superstar, actually have their superstar.
Don't take all
so
my
when
time
that superstar
now,
gets back, it's going to be a problem.
Don't take all
Matt,
my time.
Matt, you know I talk slow.
Hey, I'm staying with Golden State. And this is no knock on Memphis, but as younger teams are always great in the regular season if they're a good team. Obviously, this is a young team with Ja Morant as a star. In the playoffs, the game slows down, and in-game adjustments come in every single game, and I think that's what the Warriors are great at. So to me, with a healthy team, I just don't think Memphis is there yet, but I could be completely wrong. I just have to see it done in a playoff in a 7-game series.
Experience does matter. The Warriors have that experience, but is the Utah loss last season, is that enough heartbreak for the Grizzlies have gone through to have that feeling that they need to avenge it this year? All right, we're going to go from the top of the West to the top plays of the week. So next, we roll through the top of the top from the weekend. NBA Today, back in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by Credit Karma. Get the money app where your hard work pays off and create your own karma.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So we're going to get to some news coming out of the Los Angeles Lakers in just a moment. But right now, it is time for the top of the top from the weekend. And we need to start off with top nutmeg because Luka Doncic, I just have to show you the play. He whips a pass under the legs of Taurean Prince.
For the dunk, too.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take another look at that. It was just the perfect pass, Big Perk.
This angle right here.
That's Luka doing Luka things.
It made the defender knock knee. He didn't know what to do.
Well, and we talk about the Boston Celtics so much, right? We talk about the Boston Celtics and their surge, but with the Mavs, they're kind of mirroring that in the West right now. All right, let's go on to top SWAT. Oh, Robert Williams. This is why he's so important. He absolutely erases Karl Anthony Towns, and that ain't easy, Matt.
This is so disheartening. I mean, great block, obviously, but I really felt like the way this team's been playing, they had a chance to contend with the title. Without this guy, unfortunately, I don't feel like they have any hope without him.
Well, and Jason Tatum, though, he was Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
You need a big guy.
You need a big guy, especially one that can run the floor like Robert Williams. We know how you feel about this, Big Perk.
Yeah,
There you go. All right, next we go to top bucket, Devin Booker, who's the Western Conference Player of the Week. Hey, he hits the tough and one jumper.
Hey, there was some disrespect on Devin Booker's name on
the show last night.
We're not going to say names, but the disrespect was crazy. Devin Booker said people are playing with his name. Man, this guy's been playing great, definitely in the MVP conversation.
Let me be very clear.
Let me be very clear.
Top five MVP. I expect it. All right. And on to Miami. The top peace sign. All right. Andre Drummond gets the steal and takes it coast to coast. Look at this.
Yeah, big fella.
Woo!
Shine out. I like it.
He gives Tyler Herro a little peace sign on his way. That ain't easy. And what were you guys saying about him potentially being the...
Needs to be.
Oh, and look. New Miami Dolphin. Tyreek Hill. He does it too.
Yeah, I don't know, but you should have put a picture of a tight end, though. He ain't, you know what I'm saying? Andre Drummond is a little big.
All right, I mentioned some news coming out of Los Angeles. So Frank Vogel on the Lakers practice today. Anthony Davis went through a full live practice for the first time since he suffered the mid-foot sprain. LeBron, he used his practice time to undergo treatment. That is according to our Dave McMenamin. Matt, what do you think of this? Should Lakers fans get excited?
I mean, obviously, if you have a chance to get someone like Anthony Davis back, you should be excited. But again, coming back and practicing and actually playing are two different things. So we're going to have to see how the swelling is after today's practice and see how they evaluate him moving forward.
Perk, real quick, I know you talk slow. What do you think?
I don't like it. Practicing for what? Like, what are you coming back for?
Good point.
Like, listen, the Lakers don't have the role players. They don't have enough. Like, just reevaluate the young guys who you gonna bring back next season and call it a done deal. No.
Well, we will dive into this a little bit further on NBA Today tomorrow. Thanks to all of our guests for joining. NFL Live is coming up next. Matt, Perk, really appreciate you. We're out. That's it for us today.
Not bad.